This is Indie Book Publishing. Indie Book Publishing is a show about new books and the authors who wrote them. It's an opportunity for prospective readers to hear directly from the writers, to hear what inspired them to write and publish, and to hear all the inside details about their books. And now, Indie Book Publishing with your host, Steve Jorgensen.
The title of the book, Bridge of the Gods, The Golden Pathway to Your Highest God Self, a handbook for ascending humanity. And the author is Reverend Dr. Linda DeKoff. And Dr. Linda joins us now on Indie Book Publishing, this interview brought to you by Balboa Press. Hello, Dr. Linda.
Hello, Steve.
Well, great to have you with us. You're going to take us on quite a spiritual journey here, and we're looking forward to it. First of all, though, I'd like to read just a couple of things you've written about your book. You say your book, Bridge of the Gods, will really help you get over past destructive habits of mind and feelings that have led to disappointments and help you to really see yourself anew. The precious ray of God and the unlimited divine self that you truly are in God's eyes. Infinite horizons will open unto you. Well, we certainly, in this day and age, need to have unlimited and infinite horizons. There's so many people who do struggle, don't they?
Yes, and you know, what I have discovered is that we cannot change unless we go higher, you know, unless something changes in consciousness and awareness of oneself as who you really are, beyond your experiences, beyond the conditions you may be grappling with at the moment. Until persons get to understand who they really are as one with the universe, one with the unlimited, one with God and all that that means, you will not rise out of your circumstances. But it, once one has realized that, you know, we are more than meets the eye, we are far more, and there really are limitless horizons to which any individual can go, until we realize we're sort of going around in the same, some people call it karmic circles of cause and effect. So when we get a new idea of ourselves beyond everything that we're living, even in the now, everything, awareness begins to change, and actually new thoughts are inspired within your very spirit and soul and within your mind, and you see yourself differently. And you know, through a certain process, it's very conscious. You know, they say the yogi must raise him or herself. So it takes the conscious participation by the individual in their own evolution. And according to, you know, how much you can perceive as possible for yourself, will as a universal spiritual individual one with all that is, to the degree that you can see that about yourself, you can transform your conditions. You can come out of chronic, you know, so many people suffer and struggle with chronic conditions, and they try to address it mentally. They try to address it through willpower, through force, through even positive thinking, if it's not rooted in the very soul, in the very heart, you know, where you get the aha about something, you really see it, feel it, know it, you cannot, you just cannot, it's going to break down for you because it's held in place by mental force. So the process is at once a process of raising consciousness, to be aware of the greater, and also of aligning the heart in a greater feelingness of unity with all that is. And, you know, it's the heart of the countless, many countless chambers that is evinced by all the great masters. And, you know, you wonder, why, both in the East and the West, it's a common practice everywhere for people to meditate in front of a picture of the master, whoever that may be, whether it's Jesus, whether it's Buddha, even great personages. We study their lives and we read about them. And, you know, the very fact that we can recognize the greatness in these others who are demonstrating the higher qualities through their being and through their life and through their works means, if we can see it, it's because it's in us. You know, you can't see or recognize what is not in you. So, tradition, we see that people honor the great saints, the mystics, and so on, is because we recognize something in them that is also in us. And through the observation of their lives and how they are and the virtues they manifest, and, you know, we can bring that unto ourselves because it is in us, but it needs the conscious cultivation.
Well, your life is filled with all kinds of different experiences. You're called the noted founder today of New Thought Institute of New York and New Thought International. But your life has been filled with an early career on Broadway and film, TV. You've even been a teen rock and roll singer. So,
that's true. So I'm into self-expression.
Exactly.
And, so it's been very varied. And I say that I have absolutely loved and been driven by love, toward everything that I have done. So these activities, which come from my particular, creative self, the gifts that, that God gave me, opportunities just opened up in my life as I, like Goethe says, just take one step toward whatever and the window of opportunity opens. So I learned to follow my heart and to follow whatever I felt compelled to do, and then the opportunity would open. So, yeah, I love music, and started out with rock and roll singer at, 13 years old, and we won all the competitions in the local area and, awards, and had a wonderful time. And then it came to a point where that, felt complete. And what came into my mind is that I wanted to, I was very attracted to performance because of the opportunity to go in depth into a character and then to deliver the character to the audience in such a way that the audience can develop a line of empathy. And as you know, in theater, it represents life. So the characters that you're portraying are going to touch persons, who may be going through a similar circumstance. And in all of art, there is a period of transformation where the character comes out right or, something happens to change. And therefore, there is an opportunity to move persons, to share, share through your performance what's going on with those other persons. And, that also came to a point where I had, really been honored to do great, great roles, Nina and Chekhov, Seagull, and be on Broadway with Rex Harrison and do all these great and dynamic things. But still, after doing some really, really, very desirable, terrific, roles, something was still compelling me. And I used to say as a child, I want to be one of two things. I want to be an actress, or I want to be a research scientist. Now, that used to occur to me at 3 years old. Where is that coming from? But the thing is that the depths of life and healing and the whys of why things are universality, you know, loving your neighbor, that's always been a big thing for me. I've always been universal in spirit. So I see all as one. And, you know, it came to, I became much more involved through a sequence of very extraordinary events, was brought in touch with great, great teachers. And, you know, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. So early on, I met some great teachers, healers, and so on. And then my depth of interest had to do really with healing, because I've seen a lot of situations in life with other people that I wish I could assist them. I felt that I could. And so these teachers, you know, through a combination of some very great individuals coming into my life, I began to formulate my own, you know, taking from what they taught me and putting it together as maybe, you know, another form. Not saying anything different, because truth never changes, but to express it in a different way, a very tangible way, a very immediate way to people, so that they could be empowered to change their lives.
Well, Dr. Linda, we have a few minutes left. I wanted to have you just, you know, expound a little bit more on this principle that you've mentioned now. You said there's no situation of a mental, physical, emotional, or spiritual nature that cannot be healed.
That's right. And so, you know, being that the human being is filled, the human soul, the human being, is filled with the divine. It's our origin, as I was saying before. So as you increase consciousness to know about yourself, what God or the universe or whatever word you want to use, the all in the all, the great isness, what is known about, as you increase yourself to embrace that knowing, you will rise up. So very practically, for instance, if you know there is a principle of perfect healing in the universe that people can use, you can heal yourself all the way, and many have, from the most, you know, what people call terminal conditions. People have risen above, because the great law, which is a law of your infinite being, supersedes any other lower law. And, of course, we've seen many do this, and many do not make it, but everyone who concentrates on the nature of the universe, of God in you, of the all in the all in you, will realize there is no limit. So you can consciously practice in the midst of when you feel, I can't, it's impossible. You know, how can I? You say, well, it's not up to me, myself, as a little individual, but there is a power I can use that courses through me and all of life. And the more you say to yourself, I can, because of this power, I can use this power, and you consciously practice changing your hapless, negative, I can't thoughts to I can because of the infinite in me, not by your own will or power, but because of the infinite in you, you can. And you learn to draw upon this infinite resource through prayer, meditation, gratitude, you know, to immediately address whatever situation comes in front of you. So you're no longer thinking of yourself as alone in this universe, you know, dust to dust, and nothing, but you're recognizing there is the greater within you that you can use. And as I say, it must be conscious and applied right in the midst. And so the last thing, I know we're running out of time, but what I want people to know about this book is that it gives you, Bridge of the Gods is really the bridge the internal bridge to your highest conceivable self, you know, the rose and the seed, the absolute, the most developed you. And so as you, this book gives you not only information, but it gives you experience. So when you're reading it, and it opens with a meditation, it's a dynamic book. And so you open with a meditation that clears consciousness to be able to enter in to understand these things. There's lots of great stories of people who have worked the principle in tools people will find in this book, which are easy, and they're just interjected as we go along, up the ladder, so to speak. You address it, and you can have the change right then and there as you're reading, and you have the tools. So it's so important to have these very, very practical tools so that you can walk the talk. And the tools are there. The meditations are immense and soaring so that you can have the internal experience of yourself succeeding, getting over the chronics, getting past the limitations, getting there. And so when you can return, and so there's 12 chapters, they move the reader from the awakening, which helps, I hope, can help people to awaken to the truth of their pure self, and then takes you up the ladder to heal emotions, body, mind, so that you have this totality of spiritual healing as you go along. You become self-reliant, reliant upon the divine power in you and all surrounding. And it's a joyous adventure. It's not, you know, heavy and burdensome. And I believe God is near and dear. And I believe that every heart can touch this principle of the divine that is within and is a compelling force. Otherwise, no one would want to get well, you know, or even think they could. No one would want to do better in life. So the only people need to know the way, the way.
Reaching and your divine capacity, as you put it.
Yeah, your divine capacity. It's in there. It can be brought out. There's a way. It doesn't have to be. You only have to desire. You only have to want this liberty for yourself. And, you know, liberty is not, you know, it's a practical thing. It will show up in your life. When you've made a change, your life will show you that. The mirror will change because what you're thinking into life and believing about life has changed. So your experience changing is an automatic. So I say work within.
Well, Dr. Linda, tell us how to get your book, Bridge of the Gods, The Golden Pathway to Your Highest God Self.
Yes. Well, now, Barnes & Noble, barnesandnoble.com, amazon.com, and balboapress.com have my have the book, and it's in hardcover, softcover, and also, you know, e-book for those who like to read, you know, read from their computers, and Kindle and Nookbook. So it's available in all versions. They also, if people would like to get a free preview of it, I most strongly suggest Amazon.com has right now, you know, the best free preview available. There's a feature called Look Inside. So if you go to, particularly in Amazon.com, if you go to the paperback or softcover version, rather than, you know, you may want to order the Kindle after, but if you want to see the best free preview, go into the book version, you know, the paperback or hardcover, and you'll get a good introduction. And you'll also be able to see on Amazon.com the, you know, five-star reviews that have been coming in and the benefit that other people are getting from it. And so, but it's available in all. In all three bookstores, Barnes & Noble, and I think also Ingram has it and various other publishers. So, but the main ones are Barnes & Noble, Amazon, and Balboa Press, who is my publisher. So, and they did a beautiful job. setting it up for me, and actually transporting the information to other sites so that people can purchase wherever they choose to. I was also, I don't know if it would be helpful, but to give, if people also want another, to look at the description of the 12 chapters, brief descriptions of, you know, what they will experience as they read the book. My author website has, you know, some very good, and blog has some very good information in there. So it's http://revdrlindadekoff.authorsexpress.com, and you'll find a lot of good information in there.
Reverend Dr. Linda DeKoff, thank you so much, Dr. Linda, for being with us on Indie Book Publishing, this interview brought to everyone by Balboa Press. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Steve. Have a wonderful day.
You're listening to Indie Book Publishing, and we'll be right back after these messages. Get ready to live La Bella Vita with Dawn Catherine on TogiNet.com. Live La Bella Vita. If you're wanting to know all the beauty tricks of the trade and the latest fashion trends before everyone else, this is your show. If you admire celebrities' beauty and their fashion sense, this is your show. Do you love wine and want to know more about the process it takes to make wine from the vine to the bottle? This is your show. Live La Bella Vita. For more on the show and your host, check out our website, labellavitacosmetico.com. This is the kind of show you can sink your teeth into. If you enjoy traveling and food and family, all with an Italian flair, then you can live La Bella Vita with your host, Dawn Catherine. Wednesday nights at midnight, 11 p.m. Central on TogiNet.com. Mark Lipinski is coming to TogiNet. It's Creative Mojo with Mark Lipinski, a live two-hour show Wednesday afternoon starting at 3, 2 Central on TogiNet.com. Creative Mojo. It's fun, entertaining, informative, inspirational, and illuminating. Lipinski has worked on such shows as Oprah, The View, The Joan Rivers Show, and Ricky Lake. He's busy, but he's got the drive to share with Creative Mojo, dedicated to the modern crafter and crafting lifestyle. Dive into the info and enjoy everything from celebs to entertainment news to recipes, quilting and needlework, knitting, painting, woodworking, Christmas crafts, and so much more. This show boldly encourages you to discover and harness your own creative spirit by living creatively every day. For more on Mark and the show, check out marklipinski.com. Don't miss the fun. It's Creative Mojo with Mark Lipinski, Wednesday afternoon starting at 3, 2 Central on TogiNet.com. Welcome back to Indie Book Publishing, helping authors publish, promote, and sell their books around the world. Now, back to your host, Steve Jorgensen.
The title of the book, Dig Deep in One Place, A Couple's Journey to a Spiritual Life. And the authors are Bill and Sandy Fifield. And Bill and Sandy join us now on Indie Book Publishing, this interview brought to you by Balboa Press. Hello, Sandy.
Hello.
Hello, Bill.
Hello.
Good to have you with us. This is your story. We're going to talk about what you've been through in the past and how the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous helped you. And we're going to get into the details. I'm just going to read a couple things you've written about your book. You say this: we present the stories of two people whose lives were saved by the 12 steps, which were first introduced to the world by Alcoholics Anonymous in 1939. We are two people who have no psychological or theological training, two people who are writing about their own experiences of actually going through the process of the 12 steps. That takes some courage, and we appreciate you being so bold and kind of letting us peek into what happened to you and how this helped you. So tell us about yourselves. Let's start with you, Sandy, and then we'll let Bill join in.
Bill and I have been together since
1965.
Okay, and we've been through it all together. We went through addiction and
and codependency and recovery together. So that's pretty much my story. My father was in the Air Force. He we moved around a lot and finally settled in Colorado.
Bill?
Yes, I met Sandy at the freshman mixer at CSU in 1965 in September. We've been together ever since. We're both artists. She does glass. I'm a wood carver, wood worker. I do cabinets, and at the moment working on some very large wooden sculptures. The latest one is called Pioneer Family. Three people, a lady, a man, and their child, stuff like that. And like Sandy said, if you can do it, we've done it. After 40-some years together, we have done absolutely everything you possibly can do as a couple. And we've come out the other end, and thank God we survived.
Well, as you say, the title of your book explains how you have lived your lives together, moving through your relationship, marriage, codependency, addiction, and health issues to happy, joyous freedom. So it's been a journey, but it's had its moments of a lot of darkness.
Oh, yes. A lot of darkness where things were very, very confusing. Didn't seem to be a way out. There was no other way to do things than the way we had been doing things. The patterns we had established were going nowhere, and there was not a solution to the problems. That we came to a crisis in our lives that forced us to look for something else.
And Bill, what was that crisis?
The crisis started with me having a stroke, and I didn't realize that it was induced by drugs and alcohol, but I should have died on the spot. My brain blew up, essentially, and they took me to the hospital, and the doctor was just horrified. It was funny in a way. There was the head of the neurological department was at this hospital, and he did a spinal tap, and he gasped when he saw it because it wasn't spinal fluid; it was bright red arterial blood. Going, oh my God, and said, whatever. But it turns out they can't do anything for anybody with a stroke. They just send people in and say, "Yep, you've had a stroke. That'll be $800 or whatever it was." It was really kind of funny. So my conclusion to that was that drugs will kill you. And so I had Sandy get my clothes in the hospital. We got dressed, and I said, let's go to the liquor store. And so we went out and bought a quart of vodka. And that's that precipitated the beginning of the end. And from there, it just got worse and worse and worse. And I had no idea that she was an addict at the same time. I had none. No idea at all. And I didn't realize that drugs and alcohol were the problem. I thought they were my solution, which they were, of course, to all the problems in my life, and it just ended up in an intervention that Sandy set up, where all the friends and family that would still talk to me were there, and God bless those people. Had no idea what they were dealing with, and they saved my life. They started me on this miraculous spiritual journey.
So, Sandy, how did the lights come on that you knew you had to do something? You had to make some changes. What was the was it an event, or was it just a process?
Part of it was a process, but mostly it was it had been building to a crescendo the Christmas before in 1992. Then there was a wedding that came up, and it didn't look as if we were going to be able to attend that unless we promised that we'd act well. And then a friend called from Minnesota who stated that Bill was going to die if we didn't do something about that. So that really precipitated my actions. I had to do something. I had to take some kind of action to try and change things, because I was afraid he was either going to kill somebody or himself.
So how did you two get involved in this 12 Steps program?
Well, that was through the treatment center.
And was it, Bill, was it something that you accepted readily, or was it something that was difficult to deal with? Did you fight it?
That was the interesting part. Evidently, what I'd been doing was calling out for help, and didn't even realize it. I was making phone calls and blackouts and stuff to this fellow from Minnesota. And when they presented me with a solution, I embraced it with all the enthusiasm with which I drank and did drugs. I was just so grateful, and I couldn't believe there was a solution. And when Sandy called, we weren't able to communicate for the first week in the treatment center. I told her, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this thing. I just embraced it. It made just perfect sense to me. And that happened right after the first week, and I found a feather. That was the beginning of my spiritual awakening. That was like a burning bush, finding this feather. I don't know why. I'd seen feathers before, but there it was lying on the ground in front of me on the walk. And I picked it up, and the people who were with me turned around in unison, as if choreographed by the Rockettes, and saw this feather in my hand, and to them it appeared miraculously. And they looked at me with huge eyes, and I looked back with huge eyes and said, "What? What?" They said, "How'd you do that?" And 15 minutes later, the horror that my life had become just poured from me. And I couldn't stop it, and I just started to cry. And every time I opened my mouth for 6 months, I cried. It was just, I just got used to it. It was so embarrassing. It was just weird. I wasn't even allowed to watch Puppy Chow commercials. Like, oh, my God, the puppies. Okay. Anyway, I just got used to it, and then one day it just stopped. And that was the beginning. So I've embraced this and done it as hard as I can every single day for the last 19 years. And it just has, the dividends it's paid are unbelievable.
And Sandy, did you embrace it to this full extent like Bill?
Absolutely not. I felt that it was his problem, and if he would quit, everything would be better. My problems would be solved. But when I went to the family week treatment at the treatment center, they thought that I had a problem as well, might have a problem, which made me very angry. And so it took me a while to understand that I had we each played our parts, and I did had a problem with drugs and alcohol, and that I needed to do something about it, even if it didn't look like his. And so it did take me a little while. He jumped into it with such enthusiasm that I was almost jealous. I was resentful of that. But once I did jump into it myself, I found something that I really wanted.
You want to, as you put it, scrape away the mystery surrounding the 12 steps. Bill, what do you mean by that?
Well, I've discovered in our years going through the fellowship meetings for drugs and alcohol and eating disorders that addiction, obsession, tends to complicate everything. And so it becomes very, very difficult. You look at this in the wrong manner, and we have done this so many times. I have sponsored, this Andy and I have sponsored over 1,500 people, and it's just gotten simpler and simpler and deeper and deeper. And I take a meeting out to the prisons, and I've been doing that for, I do four a month, and have been doing that for 12 years. And so the presentation just gets simpler and simpler and simpler, and there's absolutely nothing to it. All it takes is the effort. The reluctance is what takes time, not doing this work. It is just so simple, so easy, and so clean. The only problem is I'm startled at the selfishness and laziness that lives in me. And that's what scares most people. They don't want to see how selfish and lazy they are. And I can't say that I blame them. But once that's discovered, once the lie in me has been revealed, I can't go back. And so I might as well go on. And that's the gift of this. We scrape away all the junk that's hidden the lie from your view. And the lie is that I'm not good enough, that I'm a useless piece of junk. And I deserve exactly what I get. So I self-destruct. I destroy everything worthwhile that enters my life. And once we identify the lie, then we no longer have to worship at that altar. We can now go out and help someone else. And that's what this is all about, helping someone else. That's the spiritual life, helpfulness to others.
Well, Sandy, you describe your book as the kind of book after reading will fill everyone with hope. And it's not so much of a promise of a good outcome, but it's the realization that somebody truly understands. So you understand.
Yes. I understand what it's like to be full of fear and not know what to do, not have a way out, a way to deal with the spiritual disease of fear, which manifests itself in all sorts of different ways, in doing drugs or alcohol, but also overeating or undereating, gambling, workaholism, just that fear and anxiety that's so prevalent in our society today. I think it can be dealt with by learning a new way of doing things. And for me, it's the practice of the spiritual principles of acceptance, open-mindedness, honesty, willingness.
Love, forgiveness, harmony, truth, faith, hope, light, and joy.
Yeah. It makes it that practical for me. It's not some entity out there who's going to do something for me, but if I learn how to do those things, I can deal with my life and the fear that is present in everyone's life.
So the big question, anyone listening to this, will this really work for me, and how long will it take?
That's wonderful. People ask me that all the time. I meet with the people I help. I meet with them once a week, and to get through the entire 12 steps takes 2.5 months. And since I've been living with fear for 40 years or plus, I tell them this isn't much of an investment, and that nobody believes it's going to work for them, not a single person I've ever worked with. And so the deal is, why don't you try it and report the results?
It seems too simple.
And so it's kind of scary. And everybody thinks they're wildly complicated, but we're not. We're just dealing with the human condition, which is sex, security, society, and the search for spirituality. And so we spend an awful lot of time on the sex, security, and society, and we'll get to the spirituality as soon as I've gotten enough of everything else. And it turns out that we're dumber than toilets. I mean, a toilet has a shutoff valve. I evidently didn't. Why else would I drink a quart of vodka a day for 10 years and do a bag of Coke? Good grief, there was never enough. I did it until I fell over and came to and then did it again.
So have you become religious or have you become spiritual?
I have become spiritual, and here's what I mean by that. I have discovered for me that religion is an opinion, and it's wonderful. Okay, but it's opinion. Spirituality is experience and understanding, and that's what I give to people, experience and understanding. I have them rely on their own experience, and an understanding will come. And then go wherever it is that you can be useful, your church, the Salvation Army, somewhere. Go and help. Go and help. Be the gift.
So, Sandy, in closing, the 12 steps really work.
Yes, they do. If I'm willing to practice the principles contained in them, continue to learn and grow by those means.
Well, we thank both of you for being with us, Bill and Sandy. Your book, Dig Deep in One Place, A Couple's Journey to a Spiritual Life. Bill, tell us how to get your book.
It's available on Amazon, the Balboa, and I think you can get it in Kindle and various places like that, but Amazon seems to be the best place to get it for us in Balboa Press.
Bill and Sandy Fifield, thank you so much for being with us. Thank you, Sandy.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bill.
Yeah, thank you.
You're listening to Indie Book Publishing, and we'll be right back after these messages. Want to be challenged in a powerful way to leap beyond what you think is possible? Then join us Mondays for the Leah Jansen Show, every Monday at 10 a.m., 9 a.m. Central on toginet.com with Leah Jansen. Listen live as life coach Leah uses her coaching skills to give you the tools you need to take action and create momentum. You are encouraged to call in and share your greatest fears, challenges, and obstacles. And then listen as Leah obliterates those barriers to success. For more on Leah and the show, check out her website, leahjansen.com. That's Leah, LEAHJANTZEN.com. Spend 1 hour with Leah, and you'll be captivated by her energy, enthusiasm, and magnetism. You'll quickly become addicted to her positive attitude and make-it-happen mentality. Ready for a life-changing, mood-altering show? Then get ready for Leah Jansen and listen live to The Leah Jansen Show every Monday morning at 10 a.m., 9 a.m. Central on toginet.com.
People think I've made it. I'm popular. I seem happy all the time. I have great clothes and I'm involved in everything. But I have questions, doubts, and fears, just like every other teenager. That's why I'm glad for Teen Talk Radio, where it's all about choices.
Join us for Teen Talk Radio with Nicole O'Dell, Thursday nights at 10, 9 central on TogiNet.com.
The choices we have to make that can alter the course of our lives. Life is too much pressure if we try to go it alone. I tune in to Teen Talk Radio with Nicole O'Dell every week to get reminded that I'm not alone. Nicole O'Dell is an expert on what happens in the lives of teenagers. Join her as she deals with topics like peer pressure, purity, drugs, alcohol, and many other things that might come up along the way. She writes books and speaks to people all over the place, but she says her favorite moments are when she can pull up a chair and chat with teens about what's important to us.
For more information on Nicole and her books, go to NicoleOdell.com. Then join us for Teen Talk Radio with Nicole O'Dell, Thursday nights at 10, 9 central on TogiNet.com.
Teen Talk Radio, where it's all about choices.
Welcome back to Indie Book Publishing, helping authors publish, promote, and sell their books around the world. Now, back to your host, Steve Jorgensen.
The title of the book, Eye of the Storm, Where is God When Life Hurts? And Alex joins us now on Indie Book Publishing, this interview brought to you by Westbow Press. Hello, Alex.
Hey, Steve. How you doing today?
I'm doing great, and you're going to answer some great questions that often people have when they face life storms. Let me read what you have written about your book, just to set the stage. You say this, life may throw pain, hunger, cancer, depression, and countless hardships our way. We ask, why is this happening? What did I do to deserve this? Is there any hope? Where is God? In the eye of the storm, where is God when life hurts? We tackle questions like these and realize that God is not always to blame. You will come to understand that God is not the problem, but always the solution. So we've just got to trust God, don't we?
Yes, absolutely. I think it's, you know, a question of, you know, people always ask why. Why did this happen? And we need to ask, who do we trust? Or, you know, God, what are you doing? We need to sort of switch those questions around and ask, you know, what is your plan in all this? What are you trying to pull me through? What do you want me to understand in all this? And, you know, I think we focus so much on that why, and it needs to be more on the who.
Alex, tell us about yourself, a little bit about your background and your motivation to write the book.
Sure. Well, I'm Alex Kumpf. I also have a nickname. It's called Torch, which is given to me by the youth of our church because of my red hair. I'm a Florida native. I've been born and raised in Florida all my life. I grew up in Panama City Beach, Florida. I went to Southeastern University in Lakeland, Florida. Graduated there in 2001. I've been teaching and preaching the Bible for 15 years to youth, to different conferences, you know, churches, and worked in youth ministry. I've been a worship pastor to a church, and now I'm at First United Methodist Church, and I am the discipleship pastor here. And my job, pretty much, I focus on all the small groups, home groups, the preaching, the teaching. I help and assist our senior pastor with whatever he needs, and you know, I did a message a couple years ago on storms of life, and it really struck a chord and really spoke to a lot of people in the church. And they asked me, you know, Alex, it'd be nice if I had something to take home because I'm really struggling with this. And I just, you know, Steve, I noticed that, you know, with our economic recession, I mean, 9/11, you know, we've gone through some hard times. And when I read books or, you know, I see things or, you know, subjects that deal with this matter, I find that the books are very long, they're very complicated, they try to hit like these intense theological, you know, notions that's just very hard for people to grasp unless you have some sort of like, you know, degree. And so what I wanted to do in Eye of the Storm is I wanted to make it simple. I wanted to make it shorter. I wanted to make so anybody can understand these things and just get the answers, you know, of why things happen and why there's evil and why there's suffering. Also is, I think one of the things is the moment something happens, and I've been guilty of this too, is the first thing we want to do is blame God. And you know, that's a human notion. I mean, even Job in the Bible, I mean, he tried to blame God. And one thing I wanted to show is that it's not always God's fault of why we go through things, but he can use those sufferings to help build us into better people, to help strengthen our character, to reveal something good about himself. And so I want to show a different perspective of God, that he's not, you know, doing criminal, you know, acts against humanity, but he's trying to help humanity become better and better people. And so that was sort of the whole desire of writing Eye of the Storm.
So the bottom line is all of us just need to accept life is going to be at times, and maybe more often than we would like, it's going to be stormy, and it may get outright outrageous with the kind of storms we may face.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, you can't escape storms. Last night I was doing a class on this, and I was explaining to the students, you know, let's take natural disasters. You know, a lot of people up north, when it starts getting cold and it starts, you know, the snow starts coming in and they get snowstorms, where they want to go is Florida. And so they think, oh, I'm going to escape the storms. And then when you're in Florida, you get hit with hurricanes, you get hit with heat indexes, you get hit with storms down here. So then everybody's like, well, maybe if I move to California, but then there's earthquakes, or maybe I'll move to the middle of the country and then there's tornadoes. So, you know, I think you're in life, you're not going to escape the storms of life. Not just natural disasters, but I think also the pain and the hurt. And I think what we have to realize is not to be in denial of that anymore. That you know, facing these things head on is the way we're going to conquer them. I don't know of any army in history that ever won a battle because they retreated. They won battles because they fought the fight and they worked through those challenges. And I think that's the premise, is that the first thing we have to realize is, hey man, life does have problems, but that's not the end. There's still a way to overcome. There's still a way to conquer that, and his name is God.
As you put it, peace of God, not peace of the world.
Right.
That's what we need to be seeking.
Absolutely.
God is not the fault of all tragedy and pain, you write, in our world and lives. He is the solution, not the problem.
Yes, absolutely. He is the solution. And in our questioning, our doubting, no, we blame him. You know, I was just reading in the scriptures, and I went over to Mark chapter 9, and I think it's a human notion that we doubt. And there's a story in there, Steve, about a young boy who was possessed by demons. I mean, darkness really came into this young man's life. And his dad goes to Jesus, and Jesus says, you know, if you believe, all things are possible. And I love the father's honesty to God. He said, look, Lord, I do believe, but there's some problems I have. I have some unbelief. And he said, you know, Lord, can you help me with my unbelief? And, you know, he wasn't denying it. He was trying to look at God's answer. But, you know, through that unbelief, through that doubt, he still had some questions. And what's amazing is, because of Jesus' compassion, is Jesus didn't say, okay, I can't work with that. You know what? You doubt too much. There's too much unbelief. I'm going to walk away. No, Jesus said, you know what? I'll work with that because you're being honest with me. And you're being real with me. And Jesus healed that young man's life. And took the darkness out of him. And I think that that's such a beautiful story of how this whole thing works, that, yes, God can work through our human frailty, our unbelief, our doubt, but he doesn't want to just leave us there. He wants to change us and to have more faith and more trust in him as we go through the storms of life.
Well, it sounds like he has us in his own school.
Yes, absolutely. Always learning.
Yes, there's always a opportunity for us to learn something in the midst of what we're going through. Now, you had an incredible experience with your mother. Now, tell us that story.
Yes. Well, the story of my mother was a story she told me while I was growing up. And I was about a year, I think I was about a year old, and my mother was diagnosed with a brain tumor. And this was about in the late 70s. And the medicine, the doctors, the technology just wasn't there. This was a new field that they were trying to get into in the medical world. and people just didn't know much about it. They didn't know how to heal it, and it threw my mom into a distressed stage. And my mom was saying, "Lord, I believe in you, but I have a lot of doubt." And, you know, she became very angry with God. She became furious at the world. She was just an angry person, and she was scared for her life. And she had two new children and her husband, and she was worried about her family. And, you know, one day she's in the living room, and she is just praying to God and saying, "God, why are you doing this? And what is happening? And, you know, how could I have this? How could my life be on the line?" And at that moment, Steve, there was a knock at the door. It sort of startled her. And, you know, she went to the door and she opened it. And there was this gentleman, this nice looking gentleman staying there. And she never recognized him before, didn't know who it was. And, you know, the gentleman just basically said, "Ma'am, I want to tell you something." And he explained how he was driving down this road, and he, you know, God spoke to this man's heart and said, "Turn down this road, turn down this road, turn right here, turn left here." And finally, his van parked in front of our house. And the man told my mother, he said, "Look, I was sitting in this van, and God spoke to my heart, and he told me that in this house there's a woman that is going through a huge, huge problem. And her life is on the line. She has unbelief. She has doubt that I'm going to take care of this. And I just want her to know that everything is going to be okay." And so he tells her that. And he says, "Ma'am, God wants you to know that everything is going to be okay." And with that, you know, the man left. She went back to the living room. And, you know, that fear started turning to faith. That doubt started turning to hope. That darkness turned into light. And, you know, God led her to a neurosurgeon, and she became completely healed from that whole thing. And she lives today without any signs of that tumor. So, I mean, that's just an amazing thing. And what I love what the scripture says, Steve, is God is not a God of favoritism. So if there's anybody listening that you might be going through that, and you think, okay, that's good for your mom, Alex, let me tell you, God is not a God of favoritism. What God did for my mother, he can do for everybody, because he loves everyone and wants all people to be, you know, complete and healed in him. And I just use that story as a testimony of what God can do in people's lives. And it's just amazing.
Does God always cause the storms in our lives?
You know, I think we can read in scriptures where there's times like, you know, I wrote about, you know, Noah's flood and different things, you know, Sodom and Gomorrah, you know, the Tower of Babel. You know, we read these stories, and, you know, that was based on law. And I love how Jesus comes and he gives a new perspective on things. And, I mean, that was the whole thing about the book of Job, too, is they believed in this, you know, if you sin and you do bad things, you know, God's going to strike you down. But if you're righteous and you're good, oh, God's not going to. But here we have a gentleman who's been good all his life, but he's still suffering. And that's what we find in Job. And so God's just telling him, look, I got everything under control. And I love this. There's another story, and I wrote about in the book, and it's out of John chapter 9. And it's about Jesus healing this blind man. And the disciples come to Jesus and they say, Lord, whose sin is it? Because obviously he's being punished because of something he did. I mean, God's getting him. So was it his family's sin? Is it his sin? What happened? And what's amazing, Steve, is Jesus says, it's nobody's fault. The man didn't do anything wrong. But the reason he went through this is because God's going to display something great in this man's life. And Jesus healed him. And he said the reason the man was born blind is so that the glory of God could be revealed in his life. And I think that God doesn't necessarily cause the storms, but God can use the bad things in life to bring something good. And when we're going through a storm, or we realize something at the moment, we're kind of looking through a glass darkly, is what Paul said, and we can't see everything clearly. But, you know, there's going to be a time where God's going to reveal to us why that happened, and he's going to bring something good, either in ourselves, our character. I think one reason why, you know, we go through things, and something that God brings out, is that we start having empathy toward other people who go through horrible events too, or goes through storms, you know, we realize, man, I went through a bad time, and this is how God pulled me through it, but now you're going through that. So now I have the compassion and empathy because I understand what you're going through. And I think that's one of the good things that God brings out of this. He starts bringing people together, and he starts having people have more of a love and compassion toward one another. You know, we never want a hurricane or a tornado to happen, but, you know, when those things happen, and I look at the news, and I turn on the TV, the next day I see communities coming and rebuilding for each other. I see neighbors helping neighbors. You know, I see families helping families. I see strangers helping strangers. And I think that's part of the good that comes out of our storms, is that God doesn't necessarily cause it, but God will use those storms to bring something good in our life.
Alex, we have about a minute left. You say that one of your key messages is that we gain faith and strength by not giving up.
Right. You know, no, the book of James tells us that. He says, you know, it counted as pure joy. I mean, be happy about this when you go through suffering, pain. And we're like, what? what do you mean, God, be happy about it? And Jesus talks about this too. In John 16:33, he says, you know, in this world you're going to have trouble, but take courage or be happy or cheer up. Why? Because I've overcome the world. And then what James tells us is that we have joy in our suffering because that suffering is going to develop our faith. And that faith is going to give birth into perseverance. And that perseverance is something that God gives us to keep going on. And it's the same thing that Jesus says is, I'm going to give you peace. Because I've overcome this world. And that peace isn't based on your circumstances. That peace is a supernatural peace that only God can give. Which Paul tells us, a peace that we don't understand. It's a peace that passes all understanding. But that peace is going to guard our hearts and minds for whatever we go through. And, you know, real quick in the ending, you know, I love the story of in Mark chapter 4 where they're on the Sea of Galilee, and that storm is raging on, and all the disciples are terrified, and they don't know what to do, and they look around for the one person to solve the problem, and they find him sleeping. And you know, when I read that story, I'm like, Jesus, that's your peace. That's what you're talking about. That's your peace. No matter what's going on outside of the boat, no matter what waves or wind or rain that's crashing that boat, we can rest peacefully in God. And that's the kind of peace that Jesus gives us.
The title of the book, Eye of the Storm, Where is God When Life Hurts? And the author is Alexander Kumpf. And Alex, tell us how to get your book.
Well, my book is available on Amazon.com. It's also available at the West Bow Press bookstore site. And it's available on BarnesandNoble.com. If you listen locally in Stuart, Florida, it's also available in the Christian bookstore at Sandpiper Plaza in Port St. Lucie, Florida, across from the Walmart. So those are the three main places you can pick up the book.
This interview is brought to everyone by West Bow Press on Indie Book Publishing. Alex, thanks for being with us.
Oh, you're very welcome, Steve. It was a pleasure.
You've been listening to Indie Book Publishing with your host, Steve Jorgensen. Join us again next week at noon Eastern as Steve interviews another great author.